Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
University of Wichita. But that's not what made my mom great to me. My mom has always been one of the most patient people that I have ever met. And don't get me wrong, she could be tough when she needed to. But she was always patient, forgiving, loving, encouraging. And as I became an adult, one of the things that I appreciate and I try to emulate this part of her life is that she allowed me to be an adult. She didn't want to be my mother all the time, if you know what I mean. She wasn't always trying to tell me what to do. But if I asked her, she would give me advice. But for the most part, she was there, but she wasn't all over me, if you know what I mean. And that's part of the thing I appreciate her the most. And I try to do that with my sons. I was a pretty strict father. But as they got older, I became more of a counselor as opposed to a person that made them do things. As long as you were in my house, though, you had to do what I told you to do. But when you got out, then I made suggestions on what you should do. And that was one of the things I learned from my mother. And I know some of us have had mother experiences that are not always, let's just be honest, weren't always the best. But that does not mean that we should not honor our mother. Amen? Because remember, we live in a day where now you don't have to be born. They don't have to carry you full term. Now, my mom was probably pre that day because I was born in 1962. So as you guys can all say it together, I'm old. I'm not really that old. But anyway, that's a long time ago. But and even now they're passing laws that after the babies is born, if you don't want it, you can get rid of it. So we have to honor our mother for carrying us to the full term and to allowing us to get to this point. And there may be times where you have to forgive your mom because you didn't understand all that she had gone through, all that was going on in her mind, all that was going around her. Maybe she did things that, if you look back on it, I don't know why my mom did that. But put all that aside. And just say, Mom, thank you for raising me the best way that you knew how. Because let's be honest, parents, as we now, some of us that have become parents, it's not easy to raise kids. You try to do the best you can, but sometimes you make mistakes. And then you couple that with all the drama in the relationship. If your parents were married, you know, she had to deal with drama of your dad and all that kind of stuff. So remember those things that they had to go through and honor. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:33, honor your father and your mother. But we're talking about moms today. And and it says in that passage that this is the first scripture with the promise. It's okay. He's okay. Let me go to that real quick. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you. Everybody say that it may be well with you. Come on, say it like you mean it. That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So the two promises is that things will go well if you honor and respect your parents and you'll live a long life. Everybody wants to live long, right? We got drugs and exercise programs and try to extend our lives. But the Bible says if you want to live long, honor your parents. Yeah. Honor your mother. Some of us, mom has gone on. But still honor the memory of what she gave you. Amen? And it's so important because if you don't, you're going to stumble in life. Because it'll always haunt you and there'll always be something that, oh, my mom didn't do this or my mom didn't do that. But then you can turn around and say, but Lord, I thank you with that, what my mom did do. Don't allow what happened that wasn't the best be a stumbling block for when you're old. Amen? Older. Amen? So mothers, we salute you. We have some flowers for each one, each mom, so you could take one home, just as a token for saying New Creation appreciates and honors and admires and respects your role as the mother of your household. Amen? Let's give moms a hand. Come on. And we do really, really, really do honor the moms. The moms and the moms to be. But we'll leave that to another day, the to be's. All right, so I don't know if you guys are going, but if you are, you may be dismissed at this point. Don't run, don't run. It's not a race. The race is not given to the swift. Praise God. All right. So so today what we're going to preach on is try to carry the theme. Now remember, this is May 10th, May 12th? So at the end of June, we're going to do another three-day fast in July. So right before the 4th of July, I didn't want to make you guys fast on the 4th of July. So we're going to end it on the 3rd of July so that we could, but we want to remember to consecrate times for the Lord, and pretty much ever since the April fast, God has been on this subject of devotion, commitment, determination, perseverance, anticipation, and faithfulness. Amen? And as some of the things, surrender. And I'm probably going to get to the subject of surrender. I thought I was going to do that today, but I kind of took a detour, and God gave me something else. So today we're going to talk about what must we do to do the works of God. That's actually us in the Bible. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. And they actually asked Jesus that question. What must we do that we may work the works of God? Has anybody ever asked that question? What must I do that I can... Most of us ask something like that, like this. What must I do to be a better Christian? Ask that question? Or be closer to the Lord? Or what must I do to... So that God... I don't know. How many ask God to use them in a greater way? All of us at some point? And this is kind of that same question. What must we do that we might work the works of God? And I, you know, when you hear that question, I got excited about the question. And then Jesus in his simple way. Remember this about the gospel. Let me pray before I get too deep into this thing. Father, we ask for your insight. We ask for the Holy Spirit to breathe on us. Your word says the breath of God brings revelation. And so, Lord, we need revelation. Anytime we open your word, we don't understand it in our natural mind. So we need your revelation to understand what it is your spirit is saying to us. So breathe on us, O God. so that we can have ears to hear, clear vision to see, and a heart to understand. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So verse 28, let's go up a little bit to find out what this story is about. Now remember, this is the story that happened right after Jesus fed, I think it's the 4,000. And so they had eaten the bread and they were satisfied. In 26, so Jesus answers them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So right away, Jesus recognizes their motives are not right. And that's the thing about Jesus. He always knew the motives of people. And remember also that Jesus is the Messiah, which is not just the suffering Savior, but he is the ruling Savior. Amen? Remember, the ministry of Christ is twofold. He is the suffering Savior, which is the Messiah like Joseph, right? Joseph is a type of a Messiah, a messianic character. Joseph suffered at the hands of his brothers and then also at the hands of the Egyptians, but he was eventually exalted to a high position. And then Jesus is also the ruling Davidic Messiah, and this is what they're after. But then Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And then they asked the question. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus gives this simple answer. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Everybody say, this is the work of God.
This is the work of God.
Come on, say it like you mean it. This is the work of God, that you believe. Believe in him whom he sent. Simplicity. You know, they probably were thinking he was going to give them a list. Okay, I got my pen ready, Lord. Give me, what am I supposed to do? Believe. That's all you got to do. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything in the kingdom comes from believing. Amen? It's not about doing, but it's about believing. And so the point in my on the message is believing is doing. Yeah. Believing is doing. But a lot of times as a people, as a human race, believing is not active enough for us. Believing is not enough. Have you ever heard people say something like this? Well, we need to pray about this subject, and then somebody will rise up and says, and then after that, we're going to do something. Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? Because they don't believe that prayer is doing. They think it's a precursor to action, but when in fact prayer is action. And Jesus said, believing is doing the works of God. So if we're going to continue to want to do the works of God, the first test is, are we believing? Are you believing? Do you believe that God will use you in a way that we are asking God to use us? Let me go to Mark real quick, just as a cornerstone to what we're trying to emphasize in this season. Mark, of course, ends the gospel with one of the great commission commandments, which starts in Mark 16:15, and it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or person, because you don't preach to animals, right? Everybody knows that, right? Animals can't believe. They can obey, but they're not, they can't believe in God. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And this is the, where we're going. And these signs will follow those who, everybody say it out loud, that word. These signs shall follow those who believe. So it's the same thing. Jesus says, what must I do the works of God? Believe. So he says, if you believe, these signs will follow you. In my name. And he doesn't say if you are an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, these signs will follow you. But whoever believes, these signs will follow you. Are you a believer? How many believers in here? Everybody should raise their hand. All right. So if you're a believer, these things will follow you. Not you follow them, meaning chasing after them, but they follow you. And it says, and in my name, and this he starts with the hardest one. The one that makes all of us tremble. You will cast out devils. How many seen The Exorcist? Don't they got a new exorcist out? You watch those movies? And I said, I ain't casting out no devils. Are you crazy? And if you look at the Bible, casting out demons is no joke. It is no joke. But he says, if you believe, you will cast out devils. Now, what does it take to cast out a devil? I don't know. How many have ever come into a contact with a situation where they had to pray for somebody that was demon possessed? Let me see your hand. Anybody? One or two people? Three people? Okay. First of all, and this is was not where I intended to go, but I want to go here for a little bit. Demonic manifestations are not always foaming at the mouth and writhing on the ground. Some of that is true. Don't get me wrong. That is real stuff. But it's a lot of time it's people with delusional thoughts. And they say stuff about Jesus specifically that is really, really, and I can't put any other word but blasphemous against him. And then you can see in them a spirit that just takes a, the Bible calls it continence, but it's a facial expression that just overwhelms their regular persona. Then you know that you're dealing with a demonic force. And so what you do is you have to, you can begin to pray that the spirit come out of them, but they have to, the one thing about demonic possession, and that a lot of times we don't really hear this, but somehow or another, that person opened the door for that demon to get in there. Demons have to abide by the same rules that God does. And that is that you have to invite them in. Amen? Now, the thing about demonic powers, though, they trick you to get invited in. You know, you ever have a person come to a party that you gave that they try to, they just kind of bulldog their way into the party? They weren't really invited, but you let them in. That's the way the enemy does. He tricks you. He tries to manipulate you. Tries to get you to do something that is outside of the realm of the spirit world that has nothing to do with God, but tries to get you to do, oh, I'll give you a real simple example, meditation, yoga. Yoga is an attempt to allow demonic forces to come into you while you put down your guard spiritually. You might say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, just listen when they talk to you about yoga. Clear your mind. Anybody ever hear people talk about yoga before? Yoga is so prevalent now, we almost take it for granted. Every movie, I'm even on the Hallmark Channel, which was once owned by a Baptist group. I don't know if they still own it. But every movie almost on the Hallmark Channel, and I watch them most of the time, they're always talking about yoga. Yoga is, and then once you get cleared, then they give you a name, or they call it a mantra, that you then repeat regularly. And usually that name or mantra is a name of a god from the Hindu religion. Everybody say God, which is another word for demon, because Paul says they're not gods in the book of First or Second Corinthians, but they're demons. So that's one way you can get demonic forces and invite them in without even knowing it.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Another way is Ouija boards. You might say, you mean that game? Is that game still around? I don't know if it's still around. It must be still around. I know it was when I was a kid. And a Ouija board is a fortune-telling machine or game. Fortune-telling is strictly forbidden in the Old Testament because it subjects you to what the Bible calls a familiar spirit. And that familiar spirit then begins to harass you and try and possess you. And we've seen passages in the scripture where people were possessed by a familiar spirit. Amen? So once you know this, then you have to believe that you have the power to cast them out. So I started to, I said that to say, you have to get them into a place where they agree with you so that you can cast out. If the people don't want the spirit out, it's not coming out. All right? It's just not coming out. So they have to want to be set free. You might say, well, how do they want to be set free if they're possessed? Well, you have to get to their natural man, speak to the natural man. You command the devil to shut his mouth. And you talk to the person, and he says, do you want to be free? And when they answer, then that's when you can get the agreement, and that's when you can cast the devil out. It's not, you don't have to wrestle. You don't have to pull them out. You don't have to pull them down on the ground. Didn't I tell you to come out of this? You don't have to do that. Jesus did not wrestle with devils. He just told them to shut their mouth and come out. The Bible says it nicer. He says, hold your peace and come out. But that's the same thing. Shut your mouth and come out. So that's the first thing the Bible says we can do. He says, you can cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. And if they take up serpents or drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. Now, a lot of people, we're not talking about snake handling. I don't even know if Americans think of in these terms, but there was a cult group in that was called part of a church that felt if you could not handle a snake, you were not saved. So you see how people have taken this. That has nothing to do with what it's talking about. This has to do with what happened with Paul. Remember the story of Paul? He's getting wood for the fire. And he threw wood in the fire, and the snake was in the fire, and the snake jumped up and bit his hand. And the Bible says, oh, he must have been a murderer, because that's why the snake bit him, and he saw that it didn't do any harm to him. And that's what he's talking about. If you take up serpents or if you drink any deadly thing, people try to poison you back then. And I guess now sometimes people try to give you concoctions and things. That's what got Bill Cosby in trouble. Trying to give people potions so that they can seduce them. That's all. He says all those things, when you're walking in the spirit, they won't harm you. And then he says at the end, he says, then you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But it all starts with believing. And then, so let me go to quickly three examples where believing had to be retaught or reshown. So let's go to Mark 17, 14 through 20. Excuse me, Mark 6, 1 through 6 first. Let's go there since we're in Mark already. Now, also, let me see, as I say this, a lot of times, we're afraid to say this sometimes, but some sicknesses, not all, everybody say some. Come on, say some. Not all sicknesses have demonic connections to them. You remember Jesus said that the woman had a spirit of infirmity a couple times in the Bible? He didn't say that about everybody, but he said this woman had a spirit of infirmity, and she was loosed on the Sabbath day, and they got mad about her being healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, and ought not this woman that had been bound by Satan also been loosed? So some sicknesses, you may have to command the spirit of infirmity to go and then pray for the sickness to be healed. All right? You understand that? This is And again, remember, one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of what? Starts with a D. Discernment. So God will tell you if there's a demonic influence as you're praying if you wait for him to speak to you. Amen? So we don't have to guess. But if you're not sure, you might as well say, Father, I bind the spirit of infirmity and then pray. But if you wait, he'll probably tell you whether you need to do that or not. So one of the things that happened, so Mark 6 says, this is when, then he went out from there and came to his own country. And his disciples followed him, and he went, when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Jesus had at least four brothers here and some sisters. And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and in his own house. And notice this, verse 5. This is one of the most marvelous passages in the Bible. Now he could not do mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. Say it out loud. Unbelief. So if you believe, but in this case it was their unbelief. So it wasn't that Jesus could not do it, but they what? Didn't believe he could do it. Because they were caught up on who he was. And this is the guy I grew up with. You know, I hang out with his brother Judas and Joseph, and he named four brothers, James, Joseph, Judas. James, by the way, for those that don't know this, James became the head of the church. And he's the James in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. And also the James that wrote the book of James. So Jesus' brother, at first they didn't believe, the Bible even says that. But later on they became believers. They were probably a part of the 120 on the day of Pentecost. But notice that even Jesus cannot work with unbelief. That's amazing to me. Because God can do anything, but he won't do anything for us if we don't believe. So we have to remember that if we want God to do something for us, we've got to be believers. Amen? We have to believe that God is able. The Bible says in, was it Hebrews 6, 11, 6? And it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you come to ask God for something, you have to believe. Let's go to the next example. Mark 17, 14 through 21. Or excuse me, Matthew. I keep saying Mark, but there's no 17 in Mark. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. And this is the transfiguration story. Jesus goes up, takes Peter, James, and John with him. He transforms himself from the natural Jesus to the glorified Jesus. They see him in a light that they have never seen him before. And they marvel at his true appearance. You know, somebody, I'm going to just digress a little bit. Some people are arguing, was Jesus black? Was Jesus white? Was Jesus Asian? Well, Jesus in the natural is Jewish. And so he was probably olive-skinned in the natural. But in the truth sense, Jesus is God, so he's neither of these things. Amen. When John sees him in the book of Revelation, he doesn't say, hey, there's Jesus, the guy I hung out with for 3 years. No, he fell on his face because he didn't recognize this guy because he was the glorified Savior. Amen. So that's what they see in the Mount of Transfiguration. But after they come back in verse 14, this is then when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And thank God that they asked this question. And Jesus said to them, because of what? Your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, some translations don't have that part about the prayer and fasting in it. But the point was that they did not believe that they could do it. Now, remember, Peter, James, and John were not with them. So these were all the other nine that were amongst them. So it tells us that if we want to do something for God, we have to believe that God can do what we do. Now, we were reading in the book this week, and it was talking about how God will, because of his mercy, will allow you to remain or stay where your faith is. In other words, if you don't believe that God will heal your body supernaturally, and you believe that you have to go to with doctors, then God will give you the grace to deal with that situation. Amen? That's where most of us have to, but then if we want to graduate to the next level, we have to ask God to do the impossible and change even what the doctors say can't be changed. Amen? See, this is the challenge, and again, we don't ever want to denigrate anything medical the doctors do, but the challenge is, we look so much to the medical profession when they give you a sentence like, oh, you're going to live only 6 months. We take that as if it were God speaking to us. But let me tell you about how they figure these things out. And I'm not a doctor, but I understand percentages and I understand probabilities. Because the first thing it is, it's a probability. And you guys know what probability means? It probably could happen, but it's not guaranteed. That's why you hear people say, oh, they only gave me 6 months to live, and they've been living 6-7 years later. So remember that whatever the medical profession tells you is based on probabilities. Everybody say probabilities. That doesn't mean it's gonna happen. That means based on their calculation, it could happen. But God can step in and make a difference. And that's why we have to be careful not to put our trust in men or people, but trust in God. Because when we get death sentences or when we hear those, we almost give up faith and say, oh man, they're gonna die. That's not always the case. So then you have to now climb out of the pit they dug for you, and you have to then try to reach for God to bring you to a place where you can believe again, because they've deflated your faith. And they don't do it on purpose. So some just don't know, because some of them aren't believers, so they just say what they tell you. But that's why we have to, the Bible says some people put their trust in princes. Some people put their trust in horses, but I will put my trust in the Lord my God. That's what David said in the Psalms. So we have to remember that. Don't put your trust in people, because people make mistakes. But put your trust in God. And you might say, well, how do you climb out of that hole when they dig you that hole? You say, God, I don't care what they say. I believe your word. Amen. And you have to retransform your mind so that you can get back on what God says and forget what they say. But that's a hard fight, my friends. It is a hard fight to hear something that bad and not be able to and be able to just put it aside. But it's possible. All things are possible to them that believe. But it's anything, and this is not just in sickness and disease. I don't care, if somebody came and says, oh, you have 30 days and we're going to take your house. Same kind of thing. Yeah. Oh God, they're going to come take my house. What am I going to do? See, that's not how you pray. That's the wrong prayer, because now you've agreed with them. You're not praying the word. You're asking, God, what am I going to do? 30 days ago. No, God, I hear what they say, but you say, who's going to believe my report? And can he turn it around or not? I told you the situation when we were in, where they gave us a foreclosure notice and then they gave us another one. Because they made a mistake on the first one. People make mistakes. And if they don't make a mistake, God will make them make a mistake. Just to give you more time to believe in him. Amen? So don't panic. Everybody say, don't panic. Because panic is the thing that makes unbelief take over your heart. Panic is fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. When you're afraid, you don't have any faith in God. But you have to turn your fear into faith. You say, Lord, I'm afraid, but I still trust you. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm not here to figure it out. I'm here to put my trust in you. And you have to do that if you want to see the miraculous, the supernatural, the power of God manifested in our lives. Amen? This is how we do the works of God. You're going to have to trust, and all these things I'm talking about have to do with surrender. Because when you get a bad report, you got to surrender to God. And you have to put your total dependence on him. And you have to lean on him if you want to put it in those terms. You have to stop leaning on your own understanding and trust in him. And you have to always remind yourself, and this is also the process of renewing your mind. I don't care what I've been told, I'm going to believe your word. I don't care. And this is also how you get out of this old mindset that you may have been raised in. Some people still struggling with identity crises. I don't care what people have said about me. I'm going to put my trust in what God has made me. And I'm a child of the King, and I don't need to be anything more. Amen? I don't need to be anything less. I don't care what my IQ test is. I never did have much faith in IQ tests. You know why? I just say this and then I'm going to close in a minute. IQ test measures what you know, what you've been taught, what you've been exposed to. I was doing an IQ test online the other day. They said, if you get 10 out of 12 of these, your IQ is 140. Not only did I do 10 out of 12, I did like 48 out of 51. But it was all questions about stuff I had already learned. So it's not my intelligence quotient, it's my exposure to. I knew this stuff because a lot of times I taught it. Some of the stuff they were asking me. So it's not an IQ thing, and I don't know if they even still do that. I don't know if they still give IQ tests like they used to. But that was also a way people categorized you. Told you, oh, you're not smart enough to be this, so you need to be this. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nobody's going to put limits on me if God has not put those limits on me. If God be for me, what's it go? How does it go? Who can be against you? He who didn't spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him also give you all things? There is no limits with what God will do with us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Only believe to do the works of God. That's all it takes.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.